Today's show is brought to you by the City of Portland, Oregon, the city that works. The City of Portland is hiring today and posts new jobs every Monday. Sign up for free job alerts at portlandoregon.gov. Share your resume and meet city recruiters at upcoming career fairs. Learn more at portlandoregon.gov. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Matt Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps professionals find fulfilling careers. I believe that lifelong learning is the key to a successful career. And to get a better job, you need to learn the job hunting skills that will help you find the role of your dreams. That's why we're here today. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I interview a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find the work you want. This week, I'm talking to Stacy Lane about how to network online with strangers. Are you still waiting for an answer to your last request for an informational interview? In today's episode, we'll share one simple step you can take to make sure you get that response. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the MaxList studio as I interview Stacy Lane about how to network online with strangers. Stacy Lane is a nationally recognized career coach. She helps people with everything from networking to personal branding. Stacy is known for her candid career guidance, and her advice has appeared in local and national publications. She joins us today in person in the MaxList studio in downtown Portland. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, our topic this week, as you know, is how to network online with strangers. Stacy, let's start with a really basic question. What's the simplest way to get people to respond to an online networking request?
Well, one of the things I would really strongly suggest is making sure that you get the ask in quickly. Don't provide too much of your life story. Don't provide too much context, although you do want some context so people understand what angle you're coming from or how they might be able to help. But get to the point quickly. People have limited time.
And people struggle with this, don't they? Being clear about what they want. Why is that hard to get down into an email message or maybe a text? Because it sounds simple, but it's hard, isn't it?
It is really hard. I think because people want to give a lot of history. They want to give the whole story. I think maybe they think it's going to lessen the chance that they'll be rejected or they'll be able to be better understood. And instead, I think it just overwhelms the person who's receiving the message because they don't have a lot of time to go through it, to understand it, to connect the dots. And they just want a quick and easy read, understand, make it simple, and then make it simple for the person to say yes. Is the other piece.
Okay, so know what you want and lead with that and make it easy for others to say yes. Let's step back even further, Stacy. Why is it important to reach out to people we don't know to talk about a job search or our career in general?
Well, oftentimes we find ourselves we don't have the right network or we don't have the right people in our network, or maybe we're relocating to a new city or we're trying to make a career change to a different industry or a different area. And we just find that we simply lack the right resources, or we feel like maybe we've tapped out the resources that we have. That's the most common reason I think that people should look to increase their network through strangers.
And we're talking, just to clarify, about online networking. Can you break that down for our listeners, what you mean when you say that, online networking?
So I think with LinkedIn, with groups, et cetera, there's a new opportunity now not to just network in person. And Also, networking in person is really time intensive, and it's you're really limited to geography. So there are oftentimes people that might be able to be a good resource to you in your professional network, but they don't live close to you, or they're not in the same city, or they are not in the same time zone, or whatever it may be. But they would be a good connection. And so we're talking about LinkedIn groups, LinkedIn groups, anything, or just finding somebody that has some expertise or some important information that could help you, but just finding them and being able to reach out to them and make a connection.
And once you find these people, you identify somebody who might have the answer to a question you have about your search or your career, what does this kind of networking look like? Is it a long series of emails going back and forth? Is it a Skype call that you schedule? What do you see your clients do?
So I think another thing about online networking, I think is a little bit easier than in-person networking, is it gives you the chance to set the stage. It gives you a chance to prepare the person for and to give them an ask, but then to be able to follow up with them and say, could we take this conversation offline? Could we have a Skype call? Could we have a phone call? Could I ask you some questions via email? I think there's a lot of possibilities to open up the conversation, but the first step is to reach out to them via email so that you can set a little bit of the tone, give them a little bit of prep. I use this as example all the time. I mean, none of us answer our phones anymore, especially if it's a number that we don't recognize. So when you send an email, chances are somebody's going to read your email when they wouldn't maybe answer you the first phone call. But you can say, I'm going to try calling you. You'll see my number pop up on your screen. I'm not a weirdo. However, you can use some humor, whatever. But you can prep them a little bit before you reach out to them in another way.
I love your point about the phone calls because I ignore a lot of calls too, and the robocalls in particular. But every now and then I'll see a name on the caller ID and I'll pick it up and people are surprised, aren't they?
We really are.
Yeah. And often I find that to actually get somebody on the phone, you really have to schedule that in advance now, don't you?
I think it's just the way of work, but also you won't catch them by surprise. If you say, can we have a conversation? Here's a little bit about me. Here's why I'm reaching out to you. This is what I'm hoping that you'll be able to share with me. And then when you schedule the call, they're prepped. They know what it's all about.
You mentioned LinkedIn. Let's talk about some of the other social networks for online networking. Do you find in your work with your clients that when they comment on someone's tweet or maybe a LinkedIn post or even a Facebook page in their profession, that can lead to creating relationships that can be helpful in a job search?
Absolutely. It's another form of connection. It doesn't have to be more formal than making a comment, but it can often lead to a dialogue or reaching out to someone that maybe you admire professionally and saying, I saw this blog post that you wrote, this really hit home with me, and it can be the start of a conversation.
There's a lot of opportunity here, but there are only so many hours in the day, aren't there, Stacey?
Absolutely.
How do you recommend people make the most of the opportunities for online networking? Because clearly you can't comment on every Facebook post or retweet every message that goes through your feed.
Right. And nor would you want to do that because it dilutes your message too. It dilutes your brand if you're just randomly retweeting. And I think too, it looks a little maybe too earnest sometimes if you're doing that. So be strategic. Find those that you really, that their message resonates with you, or you think you really enjoy their thought leadership. There's something important in what they have to say to you, or you really agree with it, or maybe they have a little bit of a contrarian view that you also have, and you can share that. So how much time does it take? I recommend it can be sometimes more, no more than 10 minutes a week. You don't have to do it every day, but you're selective and you're making meaningful. One meaningful comment, one meaningful contribution is way better than 10 that are just like, oh, nice article. There's no value in that. There's no opportunity there for there to be a further conversation.
You mentioned sharing or commenting on material by people you might admire professionally. What are some other tips about identifying the strangers that you might want to network with online?
So some of the strategies would be to look at who's speaking at conferences that you might attend, or who are some thought leaders in the area that you're interested in. People that have made similar career, if you're a career changer, people that have made similar career changes to what you're looking at doing. People that have just recently gotten hired at a target company that you're interested in, even if they're in a totally different area than you, could be a good stranger to reach out to just to get some feedback on what worked for you. How did you do that? So lots of different sources, I think, to find those strangers. Sometimes it's just using LinkedIn to do a search on a particular either keyword for somebody's professional area, company, somebody who has a similar background to you. I was talking to somebody earlier today who has a very specific educational background and has made a switch into a different field. Finding people that also have that same kind of slant, something, because it's unique, but it gives them a point of conversation, a point of contact.
So think about the questions or challenges you have and find people who've wrestled with those questions or overcome those challenges and ask them for advice.
A great way of putting it. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Now, we started out by talking about email, and I want to talk more about effective communication by email, particularly if you're making a request, say, for an informational interview or a piece of advice. What are your tips here, Stacey, about how to ensure that you do get an answer to an email? What do you see the people you work with do well and in order to get those responses?
So I think there's some basics. Keep it brief. Keep it to the point. Let the person know why you're reaching out to them. Make some sort of personal connection. Again, it can be about their background. It can be about something that they've said. But there needs to be some sort of personal connection so they understand the context in which you're reaching out to them. Like, there's got to be some sort of point of connection. You can't ever guarantee, there's no guarantee that anybody will respond to your message. So that brings me to the next thing, which is be persistent. A lot of times
people struggle with this, don't they? They don't want to be a bother.
Right. We don't want to be a bother. Oh, they're busy. I can't reach out to them, or I shouldn't send an email. They probably get 50 emails like this a day. No, they don't. And be persistent. I get requests a lot to share my expertise with people that are starting out doing what I'm doing or what. And I will admit that sometimes if I get one request, I ignore it. And if I get a second request, I know the person's serious, and that prompts me to follow up. Now, I hate to even admit that I do that, but I do. I don't have the time sometimes to just respond to everyone, but if they're persistent enough to follow up, I know that they're serious.
How many attempts do you recommend people make, and how do you suggest they do that?
Make as many as you need to until they tell you no. The hard stop is a no from them. I would just suggest if you're communicating via email, try that. If you're not really getting anywhere, you might try another strategy. Maybe try to find a connection with that person, a networking connection. Find somebody that you might know in common. If you're going to be at an event where that person is, make sure that you introduce yourself. I think there's other ways of doing it, and you could use social media that way too. Is if you're trying to get a hold of somebody and you see that they posted something on social media and they're going to be somewhere. I've seen somebody do it this very effectively. They commented and said, "I'm not going to be at that event, but I sent you an email. Could you please respond?" And they did it in a humorous, fun way, and I think that it worked for them. So,
okay. Well, I want to talk more about how to take these relationships, into the real world and offline. But let's stop and take a break. We're speaking today with Stacy Lane. She's a nationally recognized career expert. And she and I are here in the Maxillus studio in Portland. We'll be back in a moment where she'll continue to share her advice on how to network online with strangers. As regular listeners of the show know, I record Find Your Dream Job from the Maxillus Studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. I've lived in Portland for almost 30 years. It's an amazing city with a wonderful quality of life. I love Portland, so I'm especially excited to have the City of Portland as a sponsor of today's episode. The City of Portland is one of the largest employers in town, and it's looking for passionate, qualified candidates to help our community grow and thrive. The city is hiring today, and it wants to hear from people of all backgrounds. To learn more, visit portlandoregon.gov. Again, that's portlandoregon.gov. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back at the Maxillus studio, and I'm talking with Stacy Lane. She's a nationally recognized career expert. She helps people with everything from networking to personal branding. And she joins us today in person in our studios here in Portland, Oregon. Stacy, before we were talking about how to network online with strangers, and we were talking about things you might do online. Anything else you'd like to add, tips about how to do that? We spoke about social media and the importance of being clear in email requests, looking for multiple channels. Any mistakes you see people make that you encourage listeners to avoid?
Lots of mistakes. Mistakes such as trying to do this entirely via email. So wanting to ask somebody, an expert who's busy or somebody professionally that you admire their career or you think that they have some insider information, and trying to do it all via email, asking them the questions via email. They're usually pretty busy. So I suggest trying to take it offline as soon as you can. I think it's also harder to establish a relationship via email. So if you can get them on the phone, if there's some other way that you can be communicating with them, also it allows you to be more interactive and it feels more like a conversation. And having a conversation with somebody makes you all of a sudden a little bit more of a credible person to them.
What steps do you see people take in order to get those appointments? Because I can imagine listeners thinking, well, I could ask for a meeting, but that person is likely to say no, or I'm not sure exactly what to ask for, what a successful conversation might be like. How do you recommend people both organize those, the agenda for a conversation like that, and make a request that's going to get a yes?
Well, have questions that you know you want to ask. I recommend only asking for 10 to 20 minutes of someone's time. Even a half an hour can sometimes seem a little imposing to the person. So 10 to 15 minutes, even 20 minutes, I think most of us have that to spare. And being very specific, when you get the person on the phone, what it is that you're looking for. So not spending a lot of time chit-chatting, maybe not even doing that via email, but being very direct and to the point can be helpful.
I do hear from people who get a lot of requests, and they're always surprised by the folks who start out by asking for an hour.
It's very common. That's very common. Or assuming that person can meet with them in person or has the time to have coffee with them. Make it easy for them. Make it easy for them to say yes. Yeah. And we can all say yes to maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I think.
So lay out options. If you hope to get an in-person meeting, maybe offer both a phone call or signal that you're available for a meeting as well.
Yeah, if it's somebody that maybe is in the same city that you are in, and maybe it's somebody that I consider to be, I would call this person kind of a warm connection. Maybe it's somebody, it's still a stranger to you, but it's maybe somebody that you share a connection with, is make it easy for them. You might say, I know you work in this building. Can I meet you in the coffee shop in the basement on your way to work and buy you a cup of coffee and take 15 minutes of your time. That proactive to show that you've done some research, that you're trying to make it easy as possible for them, that you're really genuinely interested in them, and you make it about them, I think that increases the likelihood greatly that they'll say yes.
You mentioned getting an introduction to someone you'd like to have a conversation with. What's the best way of doing that, Stacey? Are you a fan of what's called the blind introduction or the double opt-in? And I can explain this for the benefit of listeners. You're laughing, so I know you know the difference. But the blind introduction is where I want you to meet my colleague Jessica Black, and I would send you both an email, and I'd say, Stacey, you need to talk with Jessica, or Jessica, you need to talk with Stacey, rather. I think you two will have a lot in common, and I'll let you two take it from here. What's the problem with doing it that way?
Oh, so many problems. One of the big ones, I think, is that I think now, because so many of us use LinkedIn to facilitate those introductions so that we don't have to spend, we can just give a little bit of information, but the two parties can then look at each other's profiles. And I think it's efficient to do it via LinkedIn. And so many of us more rely on it that way to use LinkedIn. But I would say the problem with doing it that way is now, Mac, I've put the responsibility on you to facilitate the introduction. And that's just adding one more to do on your list. You may really want to do it for me. But what I suggest to clients when they say, well, I know this person and I'm going to ask them to make an introduction, I say, ask them if you can use their name. But I would facilitate the introduction directly from myself to Jessica. And I would say, you know, Mac and I were talking. He suggested that you might be a good contact for me. Can we chat? Takes it out of, I'm not making now you responsible for making that connection for me, but I'm going to do it with Jessica. And I think it actually builds goodwill with your connection because you're not then asking them to make that introduction on your behalf.
Okay, good. Well, you mentioned LinkedIn. Let's talk about some LinkedIn etiquette because that's an important part of networking online with strangers. How do you recommend inviting, when do you recommend, Stacey, inviting someone to connect on LinkedIn, someone you don't know?
Well, a standard best practice is please, please, please make a personal introduction, make a personal connection request. Don't just, there's some little, I would say, hiccups in LinkedIn that if you do a search and you get a list of people and you press connect, it automatically connects you and you don't have the option of adding an introduction. So, you know, just be savvy to always making sure that you can introduce yourself or add a few words to why you want to connect with somebody beyond the standard, I'd like to add you to my LinkedIn network, which tells me nothing. So that's a big mistake that I see people make. And another suggestion I have is if you are a premium member of LinkedIn is to actually send somebody an InMail, which is LinkedIn's premium email service. So I can send anybody in and you don't need to be a premium member in order to receive an InMail, but you do need to be to send one. But I would send you an InMail and I would explain to you, Jessica suggested that we connect. This is what I'm looking for, or this is what I hope you might be able to help me with. And then I would send you a connection request with the idea that hopefully you would get the InMail, you would see the context because the connection request only allows you, I think it's 120 characters to be able to explain why you're asking to make a connection. The idea that you would read my InMail and then it would increase the likelihood that if you didn't know me, you would add me to your network. So that's a suggestion I often make.
And I know that many job seekers are on a budget,
yeah,
and premium can add up. But I just want to underscore the point you're making that you can send, when you do send an invitation, even if you're a non-premium member,
yeah,
you have the opportunity to include a short note.
Absolutely. Now, here's the other trick. Check their contact information in LinkedIn, the contact tab up at the top, and see if they've got a personal email address there. And go outside of LinkedIn and say, I found you on LinkedIn. but I would like to see if you would be willing to, so you can set it up a lot more, because now you're just using your own email and you're not relying on the LinkedIn. Yeah.
And what are the benefits of including that, even a brief explanation of why you want to connect with someone on LinkedIn? How does that help someone with their online networking and their job search and their career?
You're far more likely to get somebody to connect with you, to say yes to your connection request, if they understand why you're wanting to connect with them. So not just I'm trying to expand my network, but if you're saying I'm trying to navigate a change into this area, or I'm going to be relocating, you look like somebody who recently did the same thing, can I reach out to you? I'd like to be connected with you. That's the beauty of it. It becomes more of a connection request that feels more personal.
Right. And yeah. It leads to a conversation. Right. It's not about collecting a large number of followers or connections on LinkedIn.
Yeah. I'm always suspicious when people want to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's like, I mean, honestly, the first thought I have sometimes is, ooh, what do they want? So even if it's something that maybe they, I might not... The reason why you're asking to be connected to somebody is something that I might not really resonate with me. I'm probably going to say yes just because you've taken the time to explain it to me. And we're generous. People, I think, by and large, are so generous.
I agree. Well, Stacey, tell us what's next for you.
Well, I'd like to offer some templates that I have for connecting with strangers online, if anybody would find those helpful, as well as some resume and cover letter templates. The question I get so often is, I don't even know how to start. So these are some starts. There's some ideas for how you might position these introductions to strangers online, and to help build your confidence that you probably know how to do it. You just haven't done it. It might be a little scary the first time, couple times you do it, but hopefully seeing how others have done it and seeing templates that actually work will give you the confidence to do it yourself, and because it's such a marvelous technique for building your network.
Well, it's very generous of you, and I know many listeners will find that very helpful. And they can learn more about you and your practice, all of our listeners, by going to staceylane.net. And we'll include links to the resources you mentioned, as well as your website, in the show notes and the article on the MaxList website about the interview. Well, Stacey, thanks for being here. I just want to close by asking, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember when it comes to networking online with strangers?
We talk about it. You know that it's probably a good strategy, but you might be thinking, oh, but everybody else is doing it, and I can assure you that they aren't. So it is a great way that you can stand out to make important career connections or to really jumpstart your career search by reaching out to strangers.
I really appreciate that, because so many of our readers at MaxList ask me, what can I do to stand out? And I think you're absolutely right here. So yeah. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you.
Here's the main idea from my conversation with Stacey that stood out for me. And that was the point she raised in the beginning. You need to know what you want before you ask someone for help. And the reason why this is important is because you make it easy for people to say yes. And so many of the MaxList readers and listeners of this show that I meet with, they get frustrated when they send out requests and they don't hear back. And sometimes it's because the people they write to are just busy or overwhelmed or can't make the time. But often I find when I engage these folks in conversation, it becomes clear to me they're uncertain about what to ask for. So before you send off that first email, be clear about what you want and make your request as specific as possible. And I think you'll be pleased by the results that you get and the response you get. Also, when you're thinking about networking with people online, especially those you don't know, you need to pay attention to your online profile. It's so important. And if you're uncertain about how to get started, we've got a course that can help. It's three parts. It's a series of videos, and it's called How to Wow and Woo Employers Online. Sign up today. It's free. Maxlist.org/wow. Again, that's maxlist.org/wow. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Find Your Dream Job. Join us next Wednesday. Our guest expert will be Laura Pepping. She'll explain how to turn connections into your job search champions. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.